What's good, gang, 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 gang? Whole lot of gang shit. Whole lot of gang shit going down. Hope everyone has had a good week. And I hope you all peeped the most recent True Crime in the Dime. If you haven't, tighten up your butt cheeks, motherfucker, and get to it. All right? Today, we're just going to jump into things again because not a lot of background info is available. Post-case interview or information is available. But, you know, pre-crime information, not really available on these individuals involved in this case. But like last week, I wouldn't want to talk about these fucking four pieces of shit anyways. But Junko, man, I would definitely love to deep dive into her life, but Asia and Japan especially are very, very good about not letting information out of the country. And, you know, I don't knock them for doing that. And they definitely lock it in, especially if it's with if it has anything to do with kids or anyone young. They ain't going to let that information get out. You're not going to get that information. It's not going to be easy, at least. If you're a true crime aficionado, then you have heard of this case. But if you haven't, then get ready to hear about what Japan simply called its worst juvenile case in its post-war history. And you will see why. You will definitely agree with Japan on this one. But they didn't handle it correctly, in my opinion. But let's get into it. So Junko Furuta, I hope and pray that I am saying her name right. I've seen a few videos. That's how it was pronounced. If anyone is Japanese out there and you want to correct me, please jump into my DMs. Do whatever you need to do and just tell me you're a fucking idiot. You don't know how to say Japanese people's names. Please stop. but I was what I heard and how I see it looking, it's Junko Furuta. She was a hardworking high school student that had her life robbed from her by, like I said, four just sick pieces of shit. And they went about it in the worst way imaginable. What Junko had to endure for 44 long days are things that you only hear about in, you know, fiction books and just wild, crazy horror movies. But unfortunately, this is no fiction, and this is no movie. Speaking of movies, there is a memorial independent, like, self-made movie made by some kids or some young people about this case. Pretty shitty movie. Look, when you're researching stuff, you go through a lot of shit. You go through bullshit stuff. You go through terrible documentaries and videos. And yeah, I fucking glanced at it. I had to watch it. It was only 23 minutes, so it didn't kill me to watch it. But like I said, it was pretty terrible. But it does give a visual kind of what, you know, Junko had to endure from these guys. So if you are just for some reason interested in seeing it visually, there, that is out there. I wouldn't suggest watching it because not only is it bad, it's very disturbing. But yeah, watch it at your own risk. You know, it's readily available on, you know, YouTube and stuff. I'm not going to include the link in the description. it's not worth it. So let's get into this sad case. But first, I'm going to need something strong for this one. Whew. So I'm going to light up the good old, you know what? I'm going to light up White Runts for this one. Courtesy of the Goat Shops here in Denver. Good old Wolfpack. Shout them out, you know. If you don't know where Wolfpack is, I'll include the link. And I'll start to include the address in the session's description. So you guys can go check them out. It is kind of not in the heart of Denver, but near the heart of Denver. Right on Federal, south of the 6, not far, not hard to find, big-ass sign. This is a powerful fucking indica. That's one of the reasons why I like it. I'm a big indica fan. and it just tastes like a mouthful of sour Skittles. It's just so amazing. Packs one of the best tastes I've had from Wolfpack. So yeah, definitely recommend you go get this. It still is available right now, so you better hurry, because when they get strains like this that are really fucking good, they get a lot of it, but when it's this good, it just goes. It goes like candy. And I can tell you right now, I'm going to go get some more. So you better go hurry up, because I'm going to take all of it if it's there. Pack your bowls, guys, and join me. That's light. I mean, that taste is just, and when you have a clean bong, like I do, of course, you got to keep the bongs clean, guys. Clean your bongs weekly. Fucking goddamn it. If you don't, that's a fucking PSA. Clean your goddamn bongs. I'm tired of seeing these dirty ass bongs y'all hitting online and shit. Clean your bongs weekly. If you smoke bongs, clean them weekly. One, it's just better for your lungs, but it tastes better. It's better. It looks better. It's better. Clean your fucking bongs. PSA, you dirty bong smoking motherfuckers. It's not hard. Rubbing alcohol, at least 70%. Don't get that 50% shit. I prefer 91%. Rubbing alcohol, salt. That's it. That's literally it. Rubbing alcohol, salt. Put that shit in there. Boom. Mix it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. Bam. Boom. Clean. You dirty bong people, I tell you, no etiquette, none. I digress. The weed just got me ranting already. All right. Well, today we go back to 1988. Junko, she was riding her bike home from work. She was a hardworking student, and she also had a part-time job, so she was not fucking around. She was a hustler. She didn't play around out there. And she was just enjoying her day, beautiful day. But at the same time, two boys, Hiroshi Miyano and Shinji Minato, and if I fuck their names up, I don't give a fuck, because fuck them, were riding around town looking for girls and women to rob and rape. You know, just enjoying the day with a leisurely activity of robbing and raping. You know, just nothing out of the ordinary. You fucking pieces of shit. I wish they got shot right then. While riding, they saw Junko riding and thought she was an easy target, so they put their plan into action. Under Mayano's orders, excuse me, I'm a little dry already. That cottonmouth instantly. Excuse me. Under Mayano's orders, Minato kicked Junko off of her bike and fled the scene. That was, of course, to kind of build the old shining prince in shining armor type of ordeal. So after that, Miyano, under the pretense of witnessing the attack, you know, just being a kind-hearted citizen, approached Junko and offered to walk her home safely. Junko, of course, she was like, "Well, thank you. You're a gentleman." She accepted this offer, but she was unaware that at the time, Miyano was leading her to a nearby warehouse. Once he got to the warehouse, he then revealed his Yakuza connections. Yes, these guys are connected with the Yakuza. And, you know, I haven't seen anything like online that like gives like, okay, these motherfuckers were definitely connected with the Yakuza, but it's stated in multiple things about this case, multiple articles, multiple books, so I'm going to go ahead and say that it's probably true. Once he got into the warehouse, he then raped her, and then he then took her to a nearby hotel, threatening to kill her, and he raped her again. From the hotel, Miyano called Minato and his other friends. I'm just going to say his name is Joe Ogura. Okay, it's it's spelled J O, but it has like an accent. I don't know if you say that differently, but like I said, I don't give a fuck about these guys. I don't care if I slay their names. Fuck them. Joe Agura and Yashusha Wantabe, Wantanabe. Okay. Yeah, that one's easy. Why did I fuck that one up? Yashusha Wantanabe, and brag to them about the rape. Of course, you know what? I'm just gonna start calling these guys. I'm gonna abbreviate their names. Mayano is gonna be Maya. Manato is gonna be Mina. Joe, I'm just gonna call him fucking Joe. And Yashushi is gonna be Shushi. So, because I'm just tired of these fucking names. And like I said, fuck these guys. So Joe then reportedly asked Maya to keep her captive in order so that, you know, they could join the party like some sick fucks. And he also wanted other people to join the party. And they basically wanted to use her as a sex toy is basically what Joe was getting at. So the group had a history of gang rape. That was kind of their thing. And had recently kidnapped and raped another girl, but they released her. So, you know, hopefully they that trend would have gone on. It did not. Actually, I don't know why I said hopefully that trend would have gone on. I don't know. I'm not saying hopefully the girl would have got raped. I'm saying they would have released her. I don't hope that the trend of them kidnapping and raping. I hope none of y'all took that like that. Around 3 a.m., Maya then took Junko to a nearby park where Mina, Joe, and good old Sushi were waiting. They had learned her home address from her notebook in her backpack and told her that they knew where she lived and that Yakuza members would kill her family if she attempted to escape. The four boys then overpowered her, took her to her house in the Yahesi district, I'm gonna guess, of Yadashi, and then they gang raped her there. The house, which was owned by, what's it called, fucking Mina's parents, soon became the gang's kind of just hangout because that's where she was. So they, you know, to continue their savage acts, that's kind of where they just started hanging out. And you're wondering to yourself, huh, they're hanging out at the house of Mina. He's a kid, so that ain't his house, right? Yeah. His parents still live there, right? Keep that in mind. So on November 27th, Junko's parents contacted the police about her disappearance finally. To discourage further investigation, the kidnappers forced her to call her mother and say she had run away, but was safe and staying with some friends. Damn it, her parents fucking were just like, all right, maybe let's look into some shit. So they also forced Junko to stop the police investigation. When Mina's parents were present, Junko was forced to act like it was like, you know, they were boyfriend girlfriend. They dropped this pretense when it became clear that Mina's parents would not report them to the police. These guys are just hanging out with this one girl that's beat up. She's, by the way, she doesn't look like a fucking just normal girl. At this time, she's beat up. She's been raped multiple times. She's been beaten at this time. She's not like a normal looking girl. So the parents stated that they did not intervene because they were aware of Maya's fucking Yakuza connections and they feared retaliation. So at the time, the Yakuza, and still today, people in Japan don't fuck around with the Yakuza. Look, I get it. You're scared. But you can't let a girl just get gang raped in your fucking house. I'm sorry. Like, you just got to take, you got to take the risk at that point. Like, fuck that. You can't, like, what? I just don't. Fucking tell a friend and tell the friend to fucking tell the police. Like, you don't have to directly tell the police. But don't worry, that's not the only fuck ups in this story, so don't worry. The parents, yeah, they suck dick. They're terrible. Fuck those people. But they're not the only fuck ups. Don't worry. The group then held Junko captive at Mina's residence for another 40 days, where they would repeatedly beat, rape, and torture her. For 40 fucking days, guys. I don't know if any of you have done anything for 40 days straight, but very, 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 very tedious to do that. So, yeah. 40 days of just getting beaten, raped, and tortured is honestly the worst thing that can possibly happen to you. And this girl had to endure that. This is just, and you'll see why I call these fucking guys and say the things I say about these fucking guys right now. And let me go ahead and give the heads up warning before I get into this. Shit gets really rough. There's a warning, guys. Pause it. Stop it. Skip. The next 7 or 8 minutes is going to get kind of graphic. Not kind of graphic. It's going to get graphic as fuck. And it will really trigger people that have been through traumatic experiences. If the last episode was bad to you, or you were like shocked by that in any way, skip these next couple minutes, because this is worse. So that's the heads up. Skip now if you can't like take that type of stuff. It's gonna get a little brutal. So according to their statements, the four of them shaved her pubic hair, forced her to dance to music while naked, and masturbate in front of them. They left her on the balcony in the middle of the night. It's fucking cold at night, by the way, with little to no clothing. They inserted objects into her vagina and anus, including a lit match, a metal rod, cold and hot, a bottle, multiple bottles, and force-fed her large amounts of alcohol, milk, and water. She was, she was also forced to smoke multiple cigarettes at once and then inhale paint thinner, basically just making you super sick and nauseous and dizzy and just really, really fucked up. Twice the police were also alerted to this, to Junko's condition, to her whole entire ordeal. Two times police were talked to, and two times they failed to do fucking anything. So the first time, a boy who was invited over to the house by Maya and the boys went home after seeing Junko just tortured and beaten, and told his brother about what was happening. The brother, of course, being a fucking human being, then told his parents, who then did the other human thing and contacted the fucking police. So what did the police do? The police showed up to the house, where they were assured by the family that there was no girl inside. Once again, the fucking parents had another fucking chance to save this girl's life. And once again, they fucked up. Police, 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 police. Hey, cops, if somebody tells you that there's a girl being tortured in there, maybe don't just take the word of the family that's doing the fucking torturing. I don't know. Maybe just don't fucking do that. Jesus. Fucking idiots. But the answer was clearly fucking good to the police, and they're like, all right, cool. Bye. Never went. The second time, and mind you, they've already gotten one call saying, hey, there's a girl getting tortured in this house. Remember that. So the second time, Junko herself fucking called the police. But before she was able to say anything, the boys discovered her. Now, mind you, somebody's already told them about the house. Now, somebody then calls 911 and then click, hangs up. I don't know, cops. You might want to just think of that as conspicuous or suspicious in some way. I would. And I'm not even a cop. When the police called back, Maya's bitch ass assured them that it had been a mistake. Okay, cops, once again, stop taking the words of these fucking people. I don't know why they just, okay, thanks. Like that's, don't know. Investigate that shit. Be like, are you, we just came out. Okay, we got to go out there and check this shit out. But they didn't do that. Motherfuckers are lazy. But because of that one incident of the phone call, Maya then repeatedly burned Junko's legs and arms with lighter fluid and lit her on fire. Just completely fucked up. I mean, just, I don't know if you guys know this, like lighter fluid kind of gives you like a coating. So it'll help for a minute, or not even a minute, a couple of seconds. Like it won't completely singe your skin. But after a while, that lighter fluid gets sizzled off, and then now it's just burning you. So yeah, not very pleasant. By the end of December, Junko was severely malnourished after being only fed small amounts of food, and then eventually she just started only getting fed milk. So due to her severe injuries and infected burns, she was unable to go downstairs to the bathroom. So she started soiling herself and, you know, peeing on herself. Like, the only fucking option she had. Like, what else could she fucking do, you pieces of shit? You were torturing her, you fucking assholes. And became confined to the floor in Mina's room. And she was in just an extreme state of weakness. So Junko's appearance was drastically altered by the brutality of the attacks. The beatings, of course, made her face so swollen that it was difficult to make out her features. That's how bad they fucking beat this girl. Her body was severely crippled, obviously from getting burned, beaten. She was giving off a rotting smell that caused, you know, the four boys to lose sexual interest in her. But that didn't stop the gang from being complete savages and rapists. Because they didn't want to have sex with her, they didn't have, you know, that sex toy that Joe was referring to. So as a result, these fucking pieces of shit kidnapped and gang raped a 19-year-old woman. But they did let her go. But they just, their savagery just doesn't fucking stop. At one point, they hung Junko up and just repeatedly beat her with bamboo sticks, metal rods, baseball bats, golf clubs, just for the fucking fun of it, just for fun. Can we kill these guys? Like, can we hunt them down and kill them? Japan, come on. Don't let me down. Go get him. Bang. That's all you got to do. End that shit. Bye-bye. So on January 4th, 1989, after over a month of just continuous torture and rape, these fucking pieces of shit, after losing a game of Mahjong, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that game. I don't know what the fuck it's about, but apparently it's a really difficult game in, you know, Asia. After losing a game of Mahjong to Junko, Maya was pissed. So he decided, you know what, let's vent our anger at her. Let's do that. Since she beat us, let's show her that we can beat her. So the group then kicked and punched her and then ignited a candle and dripped the hot wax on her face. And then after, you know, they were tired of dripping, they then placed two short candles on her eyelids and lit them on fire. Of course, that's they're short, so they're just going to burn off and just burn hot wax in her eyes. And then forced her to drink her own urine. After kicking her, she fell onto a stirrer unit and collapsed into a fit of convulsions. Since she was bleeding profusely, and I mean profusely, because not only was she beaten then, you know, don't forget, she was hung up and beaten, just beaten for no fucking reason at all, earlier. So all that, and then this beating, compounding to just the drastic amount of bleeding that she's doing. And then pus was also emerging from her infected burns. So then the boys then covered their hands in plastic bags so that the pus wouldn't get on their hands as they continued to fucking beat her. These fucking savages. These motherfuckers, man. And then they dropped a fucking iron exercise ball onto her stomach multiple times, crushing her ribs and damaging her organs. They then poured lighter fluid onto her thighs, arms, face, and stomach, and then set her on fire once again. So, this is fucked up. So Junko started, of course, natural reaction when you're on fire, you're gonna try to put the flames out. But because of the lighter fluid, you really can't get the flames out. And as she kept burning, she lost energy and she gradually just became unresponsive as she just kept burning until the flames just kind of died off. The attack lasted a full 2 hours. That attack was one of the worst and the longest. And she couldn't take it at that point. Like, her body literally couldn't take it. And that's what her cause of death was listed as traumatic shock, which is basically your body just goes into so much shock, it just shuts down. It can't do anything. And she just succumbed to everything. For her to last that long of all this that has gone on for all these days, for her to last this long was just an immense amount of strength. Like, yeah. I wouldn't wish this worst, like this on my worst enemy. Like, this is beyond sick. It's beyond depraved. It's beyond evil. And that's why I'm going to get even more mad as I go on in this story. So less than 24 hours after her death, Mina's brother called to tell him that Junko appeared to be dead. Afraid of being penalized for murder, the group then wrapped her body in blankets and shoved her into a travel bag. They then put that travel bag into a 55-gallon drum and filled it with wet concrete. Fucking motherfuckers. Whew. Woosah, woosah. So around 8 p.m., they loaded it and eventually disposed of the drum into a truck in Koto, Tokyo. On January 23rd, 1989, guess what these motherfuckers decided to do? Yeah, they fucking decided to rape again. These fucking pieces of shit. But got these motherfuckers. They got arrested. So on January 23rd, they were arrested for that gang rape. And on March 29th, two police officers came to interrogate room as women's underwear had been found at their addresses. They were like, hey, so what's going on with this? So during the interrogation, Maya, of course, then believed that one of the officers was aware of his culpability in Junko's murder. He was like, fuck, they got evidence. They found her in her underwear. I'm fucked. All right. Fuck. So, thinking that Joe had confessed to the crimes against, you know, against Junko, Maya's dumbass. You fucking idiot. I'm glad the police were diligent on this. He then just told them where Junko's body was. I'm glad that Maya was a complete dumbass. Because if not, they probably wouldn't have found her. Honestly, if he wasn't a dumbass, they probably wouldn't have put two and two together, honestly. Like, it wasn't looking like without this confession, the cops had anything to tie them to this case. So, thank you, Hiroshi, for being a dumbass. The police were initially puzzled by the confession. They were like, what the fuck? Are you for real, nigga? Like, bro, we weren't even looking at you. They were like, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, let's go ahead and just roll with this. Let's go see if this guy's telling the truth. So then the police went to where they told him, and they found Junko's body the following day. She was identified via fingerprints on the 1st of April, 1989. Joe's bitch ass was arrested on a separate sexual assault. But then, you know, after they found out about the whole case, they were like, oh, by the way, you're arrested for murder too, bitch. You're going to prison. So upon that, then the arrest of all the other bitch ass boys followed, along with Mina's brother as well, because he was also in the house. He was culpable. I'm sure he also was involved with other shit. Several other accomplices who participated in Junko's abuse were officially also identified. Tetsuyo Nakamura and Kiyoshi Ihara, who were charged with rape after their DNA was found inside the victim's body. There's rumors that there was multiple other men involved in this. They apparently called a lot of friends over to join this party. So a lot of people should have went to prison for this, but let me tell you something, guys. Get ready. Because we about to get into these bullshit fucking pleas, and we're going to talk about this bullshit motherfucking convictions that these guys got. And let me just tell you, Japan, I thought we fucked up sometimes with some of the damn convictions and pleas that we gave out. These niggas got some shit that would make anything that we've done over here laughable, honestly. Like, it's insane. It really is insane. These motherfuckers just... They basically were like, you know what? Yeah, let's fuck up some shit. And, you know, before I get to this angering part, I gotta take a dab. I can't hit the ball. I gotta take a dab. I got the good old Puffco Peak. I don't know if you guys know about the Puffco Peak. If you don't, you better go get one, because these motherfuckers are amazing. You can take it everywhere. You just charge and you just take it wherever you're going. And today's delicious goodies, of course, from Wolfpack, coming in at a nice 71%. Good old Glue Ball Live Rosin from Nomad. It's packed with those pineapple and Granny Smith apple terpenes. Oh, it's ready. It's ready. I think it's ready. Oh, yeah, it's ready. Here we go, baby. Here we go. Oh my, oh my. It literally tastes like I just said, pineapples and Granny Smith apples. Just
and the taste, it just sticks, the terpenes stick in your taste buds. Just every time I do that, it just tastes like it. Ooh, that, whew, boy, I needed that. These fucking idiots in Japan, I tell you, boy.
And I'm not insulting the Japanese people. Of course not. I'm insulting, excuse me. I'm insulting the Japanese legal system and whoever came up with these stupid fucking pleas. Jesus Christ, man. Oh, Jesus. Ooh, speaking of Jesus, that dab just took my lungs away. Whew, give me a second, guys. I'm trying to gather my shit so I can keep going. That was powerful. Took my soul. Oh, woo, Jesus. All right, so y'all ready to get into some bullshit? Here we go. So originally, like I said, it's just very, very strict about information getting out, even in their own country, but getting out of the country, you ain't getting it out. So originally the identities of the boys were sealed by the court because they were juveniles. But journalists were like, fuck them. I don't give a fuck if they're juveniles. And a couple of journalists from, I'm going to slay this name, Shukan Bushun magazine, discovered their identities and quickly published those motherfuckers. They were like, fuck these motherfuckers. Did you see how fucking bad these crimes were? I don't give a fuck if they're kids. I don't care if they're five. Fuck them. Put their names out there, and I hope they fucking get beat the shit out of. So all four boys, of course, they were like, oh, we're caught. So they pled guilty to committing bodily injury that resulted in death. Not murder. Let me tell you something, guys. That's a huge fucking difference. A big, big, big difference in distinction. I don't know why they fucking let them, first of all, plead. Just say, plead a murder or else we're going to shoot you in the fucking face right here. That's what they should have told them. I don't even know why this plea offer was even thought about or even considered. But I digress. Woosa. In July 1990, the lower court then sentenced Hiroshi Miyano, the leader, of course, to 17 years in prison. But he was like, no, I'm going to appeal the sentence. This is the one time I'm like, okay, I'm kind of, this is funny. I was like, good job. But you should have upped it a little more. He appealed his sentence, and the Tokyo court was like, okay, let's review this. Okay, I'm going to add on 3 years. He was like, fuck you, motherfucker. You going to appeal this shit? We gave you a plea, nigga. We gave you 17 years. We gave you a break already, and you going to come at us with some bullshit? Okay, here's some more. Tag that on. So 20-year sentence is the second highest sentence you can be given in Japan before you're given life. So they gave him the second highest. Ooh, why did you go second? Just give him the fucking highest. He's a piece of shit. Why are you giving him any leniency? Why are you giving him plea deal is beyond me, but leniency is beyond me. Fuck this fucking guy. Fuck him. So his mom reportedly also had to pay 50 million yen, which is about $425,000 in compensation ordered by the civil court to Junko's family. Of course, they weren't super rich, so they had to sell their family home. And frankly, I don't give a fuck because what went on in your house. So fuck you. This motherfucker tried to get parole in 2004. And of course they were like, no, you're serving your sentence, bro. Like, we gave you a good enough break anyways, you piece of shit. Fuck you. You don't deserve anything. In January 2013, he was rearrested for fraud, but due to insufficient evidence and some other shit that might be, you know, a little different, he was released without charge later that month. So, good old Shinjo, whatever the fuck is, fuck that guy, Minato, was originally, what was that? He was originally given 4 to 6 years. Four to six fucking years. But his dumbass also appealed. And he got more time. Still not enough. They should have said, okay, since you we're going to give you 3 times the sentence. How about that? But they gave this motherfucker 5 to 9 years. I know niggas that have done more for weed. For weed. Weed charges. Did more time than a guy that raped, tortured, murdered a girl. Yeah. Fuck this motherfucker. So, another controversial part was his parents and his brother weren't even charged. They all knew about it. All culpable. Hell, his brother is the one that fucking told him that that Junko was dead. How the fuck is it? How the fuck do you not charge these niggas? Charge them with something. I don't care. Make it up. Charge them with something, especially the brother. But yeah, those parents need they need way more than what they got. Like, fuck them. Of course, Junko's parents were just completely taken aback by the sentences received. So then they sued and won a civil suit against, you know, Mina's parents too. But it's like, there's not much you're gonna get out of it. Yeah, they're gonna sell their house too, and what? No one's gonna buy that fucking house. There was a girl tortured and murdered in there. They're not gonna get anything for it. Like, there's nothing they were really gonna get. They just wanted to basically say, "Fuck you. You're going broke. I don't care. You are pieces of shit. I don't know how you didn't go to fucking prison, bitch. I'd have shoot you in your fucking face." Her parents should have. They should have went on some vigilante shit, honestly. So after his release, bitch ass boy Mina moved in with his mama. His mama, of course, took him back in because she's a dumb cunt. And he hasn't worked since. He's just been a piece of shit. And don't worry, we'll get into more about that motherfucker. Osushi, good old Yasushi Watanabe, Watanabe, who was originally sentenced to 3 to 4 fucking years, guys. 3 to 4 years. Let me, first of all, how are they getting less time? I don't care if the other guy was the leader. They all were involved with raping, beating, and murdering this girl. It should have been straight down the line. 20 years. There you go. Holla. Everybody. 20 years. I would have given life straight down the line. But at least give them all the same shit. 20 years. 3 to 4 years? Nigga. 3 to 4 years. And granted, it was upgraded a little bit to 5 to 7 years. But what the fuck? That's nothing. That's nothing. That's like manslaughter time. What the fuck? That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah, ridiculous. So Joe's bitch ass, Joe Ogura, served 8 years, all in juvenile time, juvenile prison. And yeah, that's all they got, guys. Yeah. Yeah. They got, let me put this in perspective for you guys. There's people in prison for drug charges for more time than these boys got combined for what they did. just let that sit down and marinate in your brain and tell me you don't want to go punch everybody that was involved in the Japanese law system at this time. I hope they all aren't involved anymore, and I hope they all rot in fucking hell for this just joke of a fucking... You think this is justice? No, motherfucker. You need to go shoot yourself in the fucking face right now because you suck. Jesus fucking pieces of shit. So let me tell you how much that some of these guys' parents are. So Joe's mom, yeah, Joe's mama, she decided, you know what? Junko ruined my son's life. So you know what she did? She went and vandalized a grave. Junko ruined your son's life? Can you tell me can you tell me how that happens? Like how that works out in your head? Cuz I'm pretty sure Junko did not say, "Hey guys, can I come to your house and get raped and murdered, please?" Don't think Junko is culpable for your son's fucked up actions, piece of shit. So it's also been reported that Joe had depleted his father's savings, money that had been intended for restitution to Junko's family, and he just fucking went on a splurging spree and bought a bunch of luxury goods. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, these guys are just the ultimate pieces of shit. And of course, most of people in Japan just believe the sentences were entirely too light because of the severity of the crimes. You fucking think? They were beyond that. And of course, Japan gave their reasoning that, you know, the Japanese juvenile court system is largely geared towards rehabilitation of criminals rather than handing out harsh sentences. Restrictions of the numbers of years on juveniles allowed to be charged with kept, Restrictions on the number of years a juvenile is allowed to be charged with kept their sentences very low. Okay, look, I think that is one of those things that they should have in the books. Yeah, I completely agree with everything that was just said. You should definitely gear rehabilitation of criminals as, you know, your main focus rather than just slaying them with harsh sentences like we do here in the States. But said, you know, law or thought process should have a stipulation to it. Said stipulation should include, if a motherfucker is a savage, fuck rehabilitation. Hand out a harsh sentence. Are you fucking kidding me? This is not these aren't the type of people that you should try to rehab, honestly. Fuck these people. And did the rehabilitation work? Did these kids reform and become better citizens for what they learned in prison? No. Fucking no, they didn't. Of course not. They're fucking savages. Look what they did. You think these motherfuckers are the type of people that are going to be the poster boys of rehabilitation and learning their lesson? No. These guys are not going to be that. As stated, Hiroshi's bitch ass was charged with fraud, but he beat the case, and many believe it's because his continued gang ties. He didn't fucking stop the gang shit. Gang all day. That's all he did. Yeah. Fucking piece of shit. Kamasaku, formerly Joe Ogura, he had to change his name because he was a piece of shit, and he was like, oh man, people know my name now. He tracked down a guy who he thought had been involved with his girlfriend, and he threatened to kill him. So Joe abducted him, then beat him for 4 hours, and at the end of the beating, he told the victim that he would kill him, And he'd killed before and he would do it again. So, yeah. Good guy. Good guy. Yeah, he learned his lesson. He learned his lesson. Yeah, prison helped him. Senji. Yeah, Minato. Mina. Yeah. That motherfucker. He was just like, I didn't learn shit in prison. Fuck y'all. He was arrested again for attempted murder of a 32-year-old salaryman. The victim allegedly was in his car at a stoplight and saw Mina staring at him. The victim, you know, just, of course, when somebody stares at you, what do you do? Like, motherfucker, what you looking at? So that's what he did. He was like, yo, what the fuck are you looking at, nigga? So this motherfucker Mina just got mad as fuck and just started beating him. Just like, fuck it. So the victim and his colleague then exited the car, and the altercation ensued, during which, you know, the victim and his colleague were allegedly then beaten with a baton. So yeah, he's not learning shit at all. The guy then also got back into his car, and Mina fucking slashed his tire, or slashed the victim's car, and then slashed him in the neck with a knife. Like, it's like, this nigga didn't learn shit. The results are unclear of the trials of these guys, both Joe and Mina's little bitch ass. Nothing's really out. Like I said, Japan keeps that shit locked in. Man, it's hard to get information. So yeah, these guys didn't learn shit from prison, like I said, and I can guarantee you they are still doing crimes, and I bet they've even murdered again. Like, I can almost guarantee you that they have murdered again. Like, they're pieces of shit. They're not gonna change. I don't see them changing. Just put a bullet in their heads. Jesus, quit wasting time. God damn. Anyways, guys, sorry. Shit makes me mad. These motherfuckers got nothing. So that's the sad, insane case of Junko Furuta, guys. This was definitely one of the roughest. So please make sure you give a warning out when sharing this with your friends and coworkers. I had a fucking friend that was like, oh man, I didn't tell my friend about the severity of an episode I told him to listen to. And now they're kind of like a little off about your podcast. And I'm like, motherfucker, did you tell him it's a true crime podcast? Did you tell him it's about a murderer? Like, what the fuck? Oh, man, it's like, yeah, this fucking shit. You got to tell people, like, hey, by the way, it's not like PC or chill or like family friendly. Shit's graphic, man. Like, you got to let people know that shit. Don't just tell people, hey, listen to this. Let them know it's a true crime. Let them know some details. You know, don't just throw them into the fucking fire and just be like, watch out. It's hot. So it's unfortunate that Junko and her family never really got justice. In my opinion, like I said, those boys should still be locked up right now, or even better, just kill them, get them off the earth. But I'm not in charge of those things, for a reason, obviously. Maybe I should be in this case. Next week, we continue our theme of unspeakable cases involving young people. And I'm going to bring y'all another international one from our friends across the pond in England. I'm sorry. Oh, don't be offended, my British people, for my terrible British accent. I'm going to bring you guys the shocking, unbelievable case of James Bulger. Bulger or Bulger? I can't remember which one it is. Shit. I think it's Bulger. This case froze England. Not just because of the sheer brutality of the murder of a 2-year-old boy, but because the perpetrators were 2 10-year-old boys. So, I mean, it's just ridiculously insane. The case was insane. The aftermath was just as crazy because of the laws in place. We'll get into all of it next week. Don't worry. It's a crazy case. I'm sure a lot of you know or have heard about it, but we're going to dive into some details, some little less known details, especially after post-murder details that are like, these motherfuckers should still be in prison. It's just, it's a hard one. It's a hard one, for sure. As usual, don't forget to subscribe, share this episode, like I said, with a warning, and share the podcast with all your friends. Excuse me. Ooh, got the hiccups. And don't forget to support the show on buymeacoffee.com/tokentalk. Links will be available in the session's description. And I'll also be doing that crazy bonus episode I've been talking about many times in different sessions. Next Friday, I'll bring y'all the wild world of paraphilias and everything involved with them. Paraphilias are fetishes. That's just the scientific term for them. It's not just fetishes, it's other things, but it was a fun one to research. And I'll also share my personal favorites, not like the ones I partake in or something, like I don't think I partake in any of them, but just ones I found incredibly fascinating to research, because some of them are just, like I said, woo, mind-blowing. Until next week, gang, smoke good, love hard, and remember, you can't be a vaccine expert with a few days of internet research, you stupid motherfuckers, so stop giving people advice, you fucking clowns. Love y'all. Peace.
Hey guys, I'd like to also give a nice little shout out. Make sure you guys go check out my good friends at Last Call Nation. Last Call Nation's a great merchandise brand and lifestyle brand that just promotes living the good life and also just living life to the fullest. Make sure you go visit them at lastcallnation.com. Also follow them on Instagram at Last Call Nation and check them out on Facebook as well. Make sure you like their page and make sure you purchase some of that merch. It's some pretty cool stuff on there too. I just ordered one of my shirts, so I should be getting that soon. And I'll definitely be plugging them every single time, guys, because like I said, amazing merch. Also remember to make sure you share their page with your friends so that, you know, they can also live life to the fullest. And just remember, life is too short, so grab every good time you can, because you never know when it's going to be your last call.